Blog Talk Radio.
Stories of love, lust, horror, and wonder through visual art and film with Sherzada Caballero. Next on How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and a big Southern California welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It is Thursday, October 9th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. A beautiful, I don't even know what to call it, it's finally autumn or fall here in Los Angeles, but enjoying the blue skies and warm weather, and I hope you're enjoying wherever you are today as well. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we'd love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 714-242-5248. And you can also email us here at goodvibeproductions@gmail.com. It's going to be a very interesting, wild, and fun show. So let me give you those 10 digits again so you can call in and ask those questions. 714-242-5248. My guest today, well, let's just say she has an eye for beauty. She tells her stories of lust, horror, and wonder through visual art and film. And she is the producer and host of Sherzada TV, where every day is a new adventure. And her web-based show focuses on awakening individuals to their true potential through daily affirmations, health and fitness tips, and so much, much more. So I hope you all stay tuned for one of the best wake-up calls of your life, and help me give a warm welcome to my guest today, Sherzada Caballero. Welcome.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Good. You know, the intro usually always kind of puts people, wow, was that me?
I know exactly. I was like, oh, my God.
I sound good.
I feel really good. I'm excited.
I know. You want to meet her, right?
I do. I'm like, where is she?
Yes. Well, it's been, I have to first of all say thank you. You know, now that we're live, you have been gracious to have me on your show, where every day is a new adventure, and that was just such a treat. And so I'm just paying it back, paying it forward, and having you here to share your side of life and your creativity. So I find it very interesting because I think, like most of us, I think I can relate to you in this way about being a little girl and playing make-believe and making up all kinds of stories. How did that role playing as a child affect your filmmaking today?
Oh my God, it's huge because you know, even though I had, you know, siblings, we were so, our age differences were really far apart that sometimes I felt like, you know, like the only child, because I would play alone a lot and kind of just delve into my imagination, you know. And I just created a little world for myself, or I would get lost in like the movies that I would watch on TV or the TV shows, and you know, it was just part of my life.
Well, I think that's a wonderful skill set to hone, is the imagination. Unfortunately, today with a younger generation, they are so involved with technology of pressing a button that they're not often left to their imagination. They're not given blocks or a scenario of, you know, improv. I always thought was a great way to tap into that imagination. So mm-hmm. I think it's very important that we keep our imagination all fluffed up alive and raring to go at a moment's notice, because it's the one thing that I think helps us stand out a little bit, don't you?
I agree, and it's a shame though that I noticed it, like with my nieces and my nephews, and I see them, I'm like wondering why aren't they playing with their, like, you know, we used to play with G.I. Joes and Barbies, and I used to create scenes with them, and they used to be very elaborate, and, you know, they're just making, you know, they're watching little YouTube videos, or they're playing video games, you know, and they're not even playing outside anymore. I mean, when's the last time you see any kid playing outside?
Yeah, I think they did away with children.
They did.
There are no more children. They are hiding. Actually, it was interesting. I was about town yesterday and happened to pass an elementary school, and it must have been at a recess. And I was just at the light watching the children in the playground play, and they were just doing what they, I don't know, jumping on the jungle gyms, running around, exploring. There's so much one learns in the game of play that I don't think we kind of take it for granted, or when you become an adult, that's one four-letter word that is not allowed anymore is play. It's serious when you're an adult, and I think more than ever that's the time when we need to bring the play back, because it's just an avenue from which we can have an openness, an open heart. That's where all the opportunities lie, when you can add a little play to your life.
No, it's true. I feel like, you know, as you get older, there's so much pressure. Like, you know, I feel the pressure certainly even more now, you know, when I, you know, deciding to do things on my own, to be an independent filmmaker, try to have my own business. It's really, really daunting, and it's it just, things pile on. You know, you have bills, you have responsibilities, and it's very hard to balance that, you know, responsibilities with play. And but part of being creative is, you know, tapping into that. You have to be able to, like, sometimes I feel like I go from one part of the brain to the other, because I have to be like, okay, I have to be structured, I have to be coordinated, I have to know, and I have to be detailed with this, and so my mind's like, okay, you need to do this, this, and that, and then I have to separate it so I can be like, okay, in the moment, and just in the moment of play, and trying to figure out, well, what do I do with this thing, or how do I, you know, what's next, and where can we go with this character, or, you know, how do I shoot this, and, oh, this looks cool, you know?
Well, I think having experienced being a guest on your TV show, that is the one gift that you're giving to your viewers, is that you are sharing through your TV show an opportunity for people to tap into who they are, to awaken their souls, to be in the moment, to... like I was telling you that I met this mutual friend of ours, and prior to us going live on air today, and he was so stuck in his head. Like, his mind was just, well, when I got to, and you could just see the tone of his speech was just boop 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 boop, like a soldier. Instead of when you come from the heart, it's such a different sound that you are open to possibility. And your show does just that. It illustrates possibility to your viewers through, you know, a myriad of themes. So, among the shows that you have done, excuse me, what would you say, is there a theme or a message that has been prevalent in the interviews that you've had over the course of doing your show?
Well, you know, I just really wanted to show what was happening around town, like in people's lives, because, you know, the neighborhood that I live in, especially, because, you know, I walk around it and I see a lot of people struggling, and it's just of interest to me, because I feel most people aren't aware or know exactly what some people have to do in order to make a living, in order to survive, and that was really important to me. And I wanted to show that. And then recently, And I had an interview with someone, and out of that came the opportunity to make a documentary. And so I started following that. So, and just a lot of things have been revealing themselves to me. And,
why do you think that is? What are you doing? So maybe as you're going through this journey, we can open up the eyes and ears of our listeners. What is it that you're doing that has opened yourself up to see the opportunities that present themselves?
You know, I've always wanted just to do, you know, do visual storytelling through film. And so I was trying to figure out, I was doing shows, a lot of TV and interviewing people. I was like, well, what's next? And so I was trying to get my feet wet again. And so I met this woman, her name is Lotus, and she's into Kundalini. And she explained it to me. And at the same time, I was getting ready to, I had finished writing a feature, and it was a very dark feature. It has to do with some very gruesome activities, because sometimes, you know, it's, I'm drawn to it. But at the same time, it's funny, because what I'm dealing with right now is a battle between light and dark. So the feature that I'm working on is definitely a battle with the dark side, and then the documentary is an entrance into the light. It's so weird, but Kundalini, and it's just, I feel like you, as I've been delving into this documentary, interviewing people and learning more about what it means, and it's just, you have to learn how to go into the dark side of yourself. Everybody has their own part that, you know, whatever it is, everybody has a dark side, and to be able to come out into the light. And I really wanted to show people that. I feel like I want to try to find a way to inspire people any way I can. Or spark some sort of feeling in them. I want to be able to do that, you know, and I'm just trying to figure out, trying to get anything that I can in order to do that.
Well,
At the same time, I'm learning.
Yes, but, you know, the doing is just by hearing the passion behind your words. That alone is very inspiring, that you're right. We, you know, this castle that we live in, that we call home, inside, there is darkness. And when you turn on the light, the darkness goes away. And it's all about house cleaning. That's why they have spring cleaning. You throw away the junk, the stuff that you don't want anymore. And sometimes it's a challenge, because you've thrown, or we all have thrown, stuff in a big trunk that's locked, and it's tucked away in the back of a closet, and there's sheets over it, the big teddy bear, you know, awards from previous accolades and in school and whatnot. And sometimes it's that darkness that's in the trunk that subconsciously is there that prevents us from moving forward, because it has its own energy. Because I know when I'm at my desk and I see a pile and I go through the pile and I clean it, there's such a sense of accomplishment.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think there's also an opportunity to let new in. You throw the old out and you let the new in, and you are already someone, you know, when I first met you, you just have this sparkle in your eyes, so your soul just lights up, you're warm and gracious, and that alone is the beginning of how to inspire and change people, just by being who you are.
Thank you. I'm trying to grow as an individual and as an artist. You know, I'm on a journey, you know.
That's
of,
great.
Self-exploration, self and growth, you know. So I'm very excited.
It is very exciting, you know, and spiritual evolution is amazing. As we were talking earlier, that when you tap into your higher self, the one thing I think that many of us don't realize is that one of the, I don't want to say it's a principle, but all you have to do is ask for help. And a lot of us feel that by asking for help diminishes our own ability. It doesn't. Somebody is there to lend a helping hand or do something you may not have time to do or point you in another direction that'll get you there. And so when you find yourself able to take the blinders off and be open to other people around you, then all the things that you're looking for come to the forefront, because you're just telling me you've experienced that, right?
No, it's true. I think what it is, and I feel like I'm battling a lot with what most people are, is like we are very we're very much about ourselves. You know, we're the way that we are brought up in the society, it's like it's all about you. What do you want? What do you need? And instead, you know, we need to focus on just being open to the possibilities and also being open to somebody else. You don't know what, another person can give you or bring into your life. You know,
yes.
you never know. And if you're not open to that, you never know where you're. So it could have lead to something amazing, something great, or not. But you still have to give yourself that chance, that possibility to know that. You know, to be open to that.
That's absolutely true. And I want to put a yes and to that and share some wisdom that my yoga teacher said to me because I was going into an important meeting. And it was just based on what you just said. Not that I was going in to get something, but we tend to do that. Certain meetings, when something is on the line, we want to get something from that person. That's the purpose of the
mm-hmm.
meeting. But what she said truly changed the outcome. I don't know if it changed the outcome, but it changed me in the meeting, was that is making a friend. Meaning, you know, hey, you want to come out and play in my sandbox? You want to go on the swing? So when you are friendly with someone, you get to, it's building the relationship, and that's what's valuable. That's what your films express, is a relationship. You're telling a story about relationships to people. So when you find that friendship quotient, when you can go in with that intent, the whole scenario changes. And I would say 99.99999% of the time, it's beneficial to both parties.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you're doing a documentary. Can you share with us what is your documentary about?
Yes, it's I'm working with two other individuals, Lotus Lindley and Laura Febres, and it's about Kundalini Rising, the Evolution of Humanity. That is the title. And it's basically a documentary so people can understand what Kundalini is and comparing it to other religions and to other philosophies that most people are familiar with. And the premise is that we all harbor this energy within us. Mm-hmm. And whether we call it the Holy Spirit, Shaktipa, Kundalini, or whatever other word, it's basically the same thing. It's the essence. It's our soul. It's the light, the energy inside of us. You know, and even can, you know, really explain what the soul is, you know, and that's why it's of interest to so many people. And that's why so many people, you know, believe in God, you know, but, you know, they believe in different forms. But we all have this thing inside us that helps us believe and want, yearn. And if we get in touch with that and actually explore it and understand this energy. Once you understand it, you're able to know your path in life. And so, basically, I'm learning a lot about this. Lotus is very familiar with it, and but I'm learning. And so, what I wanted to do was like, this is interesting. I want to learn about it, and as I'm learning about it and questioning and growing as an individual, you know, we should share that with people because maybe there's people who are in that same boat, you know, trying to understand their spirituality, to understand their role in life and in the world and the energy inside of them. Because, you know, I really believe in self-healing, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically. I mean, we're we are so incredible as human beings that we have the capability to do anything. Like, it's just, I feel that we're so bombarded with technology. We're so just, you know, secluded into our homes, into our little lives, that we don't connect with the real world, with nature. You know, when I'm traveling and I go and I visit all these places, I love to go into nature. I feel free. I feel this connection that I just don't feel when I'm in the city. And I'm just, I'm surrounded and I'm like closed off. I'm in a room. There's all these walls around me. Whenever you're in the city, building, whatever, there's all these walls, there's concrete everywhere. But when you're out in the open and you just really just feel it, you can understand that attachment that you have to the world, to God, that essence. And I mean, I want to learn more about it. I feel it inside of myself that I just really want to be more in touch with that energy. And I believe that that energy is God. You know?
Yes, it is. And it's,
you know,
we
embody it.
We do. We do. Everything is that higher source, whatever you want to call it. It's all around us. And the beauty of following Kundalini or any other spiritual philosophy is that a lot of it also supports meditation. And meditation is a wonderful way to come inside. And that's what a yoga practice does, whether you do Kundalini, Hatha, whatever form of yoga you practice. That is the purpose of that practice, is to prepare you for meditation, where everything is clear, where you can listen and hear the answers and be filled with a sense of well-being and peace, so that when you go out into the concrete jungle that you're just talking about, we're able to handle the cacophony of noise.
You're right.
It's crazy, and everything around us, and I know you can relate to this, is a movie. It's all a movie, and it's the tapping in and getting in touch with ourselves and knowing we are all divine beings and we all have what we need to experience anything that we want. It's just that old beliefs and unwanted baggage hang around and that limit us, and that we have limiting beliefs. But anything is possible. These principles are so simple, but it does take time and patience to do the exploration, which is fun. And it's wonderful to hear that on so many levels of your creativity, you're opening the doors to people who are perhaps uncertain, not sure, and they kind of want more out of life or want to experience something different or a change. I don't know. It's the year of the woman, for sure. And so here's two foxy chicks right here. I don't know if you can feel it. I've kind of felt that there's a big shift.
There's a shift.
There's a shift. So it's a positive shift, and yes, you're going to come across people that may not want to have any part of it, don't believe in it, or whatever their story is. But
well, that's who the people I want to reach out to. You know, I want them to. I want to present you know, the concept of Kundalini to them in a scientific and an intellectual way, and in order for them to understand. You know, because I feel like a lot of people, when they, you talk about meditation, you talk about yoga, you talk about all these different things, and they're turned off by it, you know, and that's kind of the people I want to talk to them about. Like, I want to show them that there is a possibility, that there is something that they could connect to that's bigger. And once you understand that, once you feel that, it just makes life a lot easier and better and just enjoyable. Like, it's ridiculous.
No, it is, right? I mean, the sky's the limit. I think society has painted in the past certain negative implications of a spiritual life or yoga or meditation, or, you know, you're a hippie or whatever that is, and it's not necessarily the case. There's been a huge wave of mindful meditation in the corporate world, that people are teaching that to their employees to help them produce more.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And also, to people who are religious or who do believe in God, but who don't want to, you know, they feel that if they tread on this, that they're doing something evil or something, you know? And that's also, like, I want them to understand that it's not. It's the same thing, you know? It's that same essence, and it's something that, you know, even you can go as far as, say, Abraham and Jesus Christ, they're all touched by it, and Buddha, they all had that. They all knew it. They were just trying to share it with the world.
That's it. That's it. Well, we have a caller. Let's see if our caller has a question or a comment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, to the show. So let's check in and see. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on the line with Sherazada Caballero. Do you have a question?
Lauren, hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Ah, great. I am loving your show, as always. And I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty pronouncing your name.
Could you Sherazada?
Yeah.
Like the queen, Sherazada.
Yes, yes. It's beautiful. And I was just really enjoying what you were saying about opening people's minds to different ways of approaching this subject.
Oh, great. I'm glad. I think it's important. And especially since, you know, Lauren was talking about the shift, more and more people are becoming aware, but maybe they just don't know exactly what's happening. And that's part of the communication about, you know, trying to communicate to people what is happening.
That's right.
Well,
important.
It's also part of what makes it so interesting and so beautiful, the fact that people don't really know about this subject. And there's so many, you know, we're talking about the sort of the ultimate unknowns in so many ways, and opening people up to the possibility of maybe not really knowing something with total certainty, but being open to the new experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's huge.
That's a major word, open. People have to, well, they don't have to do anything, but we're trying to make that shift so people can at least hear you. You know, there are people that are kind of stuck in their old ways and who are more pragmatic and scientific, and without data, they don't want to hear anything. So
that's
nice
true.
To, through film, through any of the arts, to be able to chisel away at some of the rigidity that people have about how they view life in general.
Yeah, and I think the way that you're going about it, you know, from what you've described, is such an important way of opening people's thinking.
I think so, and I think, you know, we're planning on interviewing some quantum physics scientists and Christians, and we actually interviewed, I don't know if you know, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. He's a rabbi, but he's in tune with Eastern cultures, and so he's got this huge place in Arizona, and it was an amazing interview. He's got an incredible presence and knowledge. And, you know, once you realize that, you know, if a rabbi is into this and understands it, then, you know, there's something more. There's something more there, you know. There has to be something else. Like, there's a truth to all of this.
Absolutely. And the truth will be revealed. And I don't know. we're just hit the iceberg of the truth, Scheherazade, because we are almost out of time. So, oh, no is right. Oh, no is right. We're just getting all warmed up. And it's time to say goodbye. But before we do go, I want to give out a website so people who are listening and who do tune in can contact you for more information. And they can email you from your website, which is ShaherazadeCaballero.com. And I'll spell that ShaherazadeCaballero.com. So feel free to contact Scheherazade for more information about this conversation or anything else. And I want to thank you, Scheherazade, so much for being on the show. It's always a delight to sit and chat with you and hear your views and to see how you're beginning to change the world through your art.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I really appreciate it. And I'm just happy that you had me on your show. And I think you're amazing.
Well, thank you. I'm happy you're happy. I think we have two happy people, and it sounds like we have a happy caller. I love when we have a happy caller. So three Foxy Chicks were on the air today, so that is so wonderful. So once again, I want to send out a heartfelt thank you to Scheherazade Caballero for being with me on How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. And once more, if you'd like to reach out to Scheherazade, you can do so by going to her website at ScheherazadeCaballero.com, ScheherazadeCaballero. So please join me next time for another wild and fascinating journey in someone else's shoes when my guest will be. Ah, it's a surprise. I love those. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining us and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes today with my guest, Scheherazade Caballero. We'll see you next time, and I hope you find comfort in your own shoes. We're going to leave you with Keith Chagall and Flight of the Monarch.